Hello and welcome back to our latest episode of the Knowledge Base podcast. My name is Brett Tharp and I'm back in action as the host for today's episode. And this episode is indeed a notable one, as this is officially our 50th episode of the Knowledge Base podcast. So with that said, I want to say thank you to all of our listeners, various guest speakers, and all of the eMoney team members that have helped make this possible. Now, as we're winding down 2025, we figured to have an episode focusing on year-end planning, that is, identifying particular aspects of financial planning, along with some potential processes and ideas to wrap up the current year and start off the next year on the right foot. And to help me in this endeavor, I sat down with Joe Berman, who works in eMoney's Financial Planning Group's Practice Management and Consultant Unit, to pick his brain on different aspects of year-end planning and to get some suggestions on how to strategically incorporate some of these ideas into one's practice. So, with that said, let's get started. Please be advised that this podcast contains purely educational information, and nothing discussed may be construed as legal, tax, or financial advice. Please consult a financial advisor for any financial investment or money management questions. All views or opinions represented in this podcast are solely the opinion of the speaker and do not represent those of eMoney Advisor LLC or any of its affiliates.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for giving us your time and for joining this episode of the Knowledge Base podcast. For those who haven't had the opportunity to meet or engage with you yet, do you mind just sharing a little bit about yourself and maybe your professional past with the audience?
Absolutely. Thank you, Brad. I have been here at eMoney now for about 4.5 years. And while I'm newer to the eMoney organization, I will say that eMoney is not new to me. So prior to coming to eMoney, I worked for a large insurance broker-dealer organization. I led their advanced markets team. It's also there where I also had the pleasure to lead up our implementation team to bring eMoney to that enterprise. At the time, we rolled it out to over 1,200 advisors. And today, I'm a practice management consultant here at eMoney. And a lot of my days are spent really helping those larger firms and enterprises weave eMoney into their systems, as well as helping their advisors with driving adoption and engagement in the new technology and really offering up what I would call a modern planning experience.
Thanks, Joe. And for a lot of those reasons you just said, we're very excited to have you join the podcast and share some insights. As you mentioned, you have a fairly extensive record in the industry and quickly racking up the years at eMoney here. So you first came to mind as a great person to talk to because we're rapidly approaching 2026. And what we felt would be a good topic here was to discuss end of year planning considerations that our users and financial professionals should be mindful of in order to end 2025 on the right note and set themselves up to hit the ground running for a fast start in 2026. So that is basically what we're going to be talking about here today. First couple questions that I want to pick your brain on here. Just going to be more broader financial planning and financial services industry related. But then later in the episode here, we'll talk maybe some more eMoney centric, eMoney specific types of items that users can consider incorporating into their own approach. So with all of that said, here comes our first question. Joe, when it comes to end of year planning, what are some of the primary elements that advisors should be paying attention to?
It's a very timely question, you know, Brett, as I know that that's probably on a lot of our listeners' minds right now. I think this is a natural time to be taking a look at taxes. While, you know, tax season is a little ways off, there's still some things that they can do before year end to take advantage of things. So are there strategies or tactics that need to be taken action on? Has the client taken all of their RMDs that they need to? Are there any losses that could offset some of the gains for a client, as in like tax loss harvesting? Any last minute, you know, what I would call smart giving techniques, like a like a donor advised fund or a qualified charitable deduction, or a lot of press out there is talking about bunching up charitable gifts here in 2025. Again, shameless plug, these can all be modeled in the platform. I will mention literally just typing into the help function. If you type in DAF or QCD, you're going to find some great information there for how to model those in the platform. I'd say too, we're several weeks into the football season now, so I'm going to do my shameless football analogy here. You know, many advisors out there like to see themselves as a quarterback for their client, and or you know, maybe even the coach there. They're helping to call the plays or the strategies to implement, and some of those players are going to help carry the ball across the goal line. Others are going to do a little tush push, and you know, other times they're going to need a position player or special teams to help implement those. And so I think for advisors, if there's a lesson from this, there's something that they can do that, you know, they may also be networking with other professionals, you know, their client's accountant or estate planning attorney, maybe someone to help with a business valuation for closely held family business, or a loan officer at the bank. So, you know, using some things like the client vault to share and store documents, maybe even alliance partners to give specific clients or specific pieces of a plan to the third party. Those are great things to be sharing. Or maybe a living, breathing balance sheet or net worth statement. And as you think about these things, you might be wondering, hey, well, there's things I should be doing here at the end of the year. What should I be doing the other 11 months of the year? And well, I'd say as a practice management consultant, it sounds like you need a service calendar.
The idea of a service calendar, that sounds very intriguing. Do you mind maybe expanding a little bit more on that and sharing maybe what could comprise that service calendar?
Absolutely, Brett. You know, it really is. It's that month by month list of activities that you and your staff are doing for clients. You know, whether it's client facing, like a portfolio review or a mid-year update, or it's behind the scenes, like tax loss harvesting or portfolio rebalancing and stuff. Now, I will say, if you talk to 100 advisors, you're probably going to see 100 different service calendars out there. But think of it as a way to really document the process across your staff so that nothing falls in the cracks. It'll also serve to inform your clients of all the services that you're going to be providing for the fees that they're paying. You want to take into account with that service calendar, you know, not just the investments, but really the entirety of the plan, you know, those large and small goals. Take into account taxes, cash flow, insurance, estate planning, maybe even employee benefits or Medicare planning. And you know, I think that there are some natural times of the year for certain services. You know, January is a great time of the year to look at their portfolio. Maybe it's time to rebalance qualified accounts. Everybody's just gotten their year-end statements. I already mentioned taxes. April is tax month, so maybe that's sitting down and doing a post-mortem on their tax return and see, hey, were there any opportunities that we missed or anything that's available here? May is a good time to talk college planning. You know, May 29th, 529 might be a great time to review the education plan. Or maybe you think September is a great time because everybody's thinking, you know, hey, now that the kids are back in school, we should be talking to Brett about college planning. Or how about July? You're kind of halfway through the year. Maybe it's time to do a mid-year check-in. And how's the plan doing? You've got September is Life Insurance Awareness Month. Great time to be reviewing life insurance or estate planning. And if this has you sort of thinking like, maybe I should be putting one of these together, well, again, shameless plug, if you just search in your favorite search engine, just type in eMoney blog and the phrase service calendar. That'll take you to our Heart of Advice blog here at eMoney. There's a really good article with some pretty specific examples there. I know the guy that worked on it, he's reasonably smart and marginally good looking. So
Well, that's a nice little promo to something that you've helped with in the past, and I appreciate you giving those instructions so that our listeners can find that great content that you've put out there. So thank you, and no shame in plugging all the great stuff that you do at eMoney here, Joe. A couple things to note. I think the education planning on May 29th, 529, that is, I can't believe I've never heard of that before, and that makes a lot of sense. So that's sticking out in my head, and maybe that will for some of our listeners as well. Like you mentioned, life insurance, and maybe in September, that could, again, be a great time. Check those beneficiary designations. Maybe that gets into some estate planning. And then a couple months, yeah, you'll be doing the end of the year plan and just rinse, lather, repeat. Joe, appreciate the ideas that you've already shared. Have you found that this is something that is challenging? And if so, why is there such difficulty in sticking to end of year types of planning?
I mean, I will say, Brett, at this time of the year, it just seems like the time runs out. I mean, we're losing daylight fast, and all of those Halloween decorations, those went up on September 1st, right? You know, right after the kids got back to school, already seeing the Christmas decorations out now. Everything seems to be going faster and being accelerated here. But here's a couple of thoughts. You know, that's kind of why I think that service calendar idea is so valuable. Just like an offensive coordinator, you're going to detail out exactly how the play is going to run, which of your staff are going to be doing the blocking, the tackling, the running. And second, you know, unfortunately, I'm going to bring in like the retail analogy here, but you need to tackle some of these items sooner rather than later. So some of these items, like tax strategies or charitable giving or making sure that the RMDs have been met, there are some time constraints on it, and they come with pretty significant costs. The IRS can throw a penalty flag, and you as a coach, you don't get a challenge flag to throw. So you need to call in special teams, a CPA or an estate planning attorney. Unfortunately, there are no timeouts in this game, and the clock's always running. And while the year end has its own challenges along with holidays, it also brings, I think, some opportunities. You know, this is still very much a relationship business. You know, I know a lot of, I'd see a lot of my peers out there would be sending out a Christmas or holiday card. I always used to beat others to the punch with a Thanksgiving card and share how incredibly thankful I was that they trusted me as their advisor, or take the opportunity to offer an early event with your clients. One great way, you know, maybe work with a local photographer, offering a, you know, a free family photo, you know, maybe with festive backgrounds in your office. Much of the family may be gathering at Thanksgiving, and you know, it's a great time to get that done. Now, here's some facts backing up the, you know, the method to my madness there. There's $124 trillion of wealth transferring in the next couple of decades. 80% of younger investors out there say they would fire their parents' advisor because their products, their services, or technology was outdated, and it wasn't a modern digital-first experience. So what better way to connect and learn more about that next generation and start building some of those relationships than with a family photo that they can all look back on and treasure?
I think that is a phenomenal idea. And like you said, you want to honor the relationship first and foremost. And doing something like that, I think, would go a long way. So that's another very creative idea. Kind of goes a step beyond just the traditional types of cards, even if you're sending them out early and trying to get, like you said, ahead of the the others out there by sending a Thanksgiving card. Doing little things that maybe differentiate yourself from others, but also just, again, go back to expressing the value, the amount that you care for your clients, that is going to go a long way in keeping and retaining that over time. And like you said, as maybe assets start transferring, I already have a couple of e-money ideas of how we can help fit those situations, but I'll hold off on that for just another moment or two as we continue our conversation here. Again, just having more broad types of topics, okay? What I want to maybe help some of the listeners here maybe avoid common missteps and mistakes in terms of trying to accomplish their year-end planning. So in your experiences, Joe, any common mistakes or issues, obstacles, hurdles that advisors can find themselves making?
Mistakes. There's never any mistakes, right? Never an issue. A couple of thoughts there. One really is first, you know, how are you framing that? A year-end review. Wow, that's really exciting. We're looking backwards. I mean, no one likes to do that. I mean, even on most cars today, you're looking forwards when you're going backwards with a backup cam. It really needs to be more forward looking. So I like the idea of categorizing it and calling it a strategy meeting. Let's get together and discuss strategy for the coming months or the coming year. You know, nobody likes reviews where we just talk about what's been. Let's talk about what could be. Second, I think most advisors don't want planning to be a burden, but I feel they oftentimes fail to fully leverage the technology. And what do I mean by that? Now, I know from some Cerulli studies that shares, you know, about 8% of an advisor's time is actually spent doing the work of financial planning. The rest is on managing your practice or managing the client relationship. And, you know, if you're putting in an eight-hour week, oh my gosh, we'd all love an eight-hour week. How about a 50-hour week? That's probably more like it. At 8%, that's talking 4 or 5 hours a week is all that you're doing in the software. So there's precious little time. I'm a huge fan of aggregation. Using your integrations, all those connections to pre-fill in everything that's under your care, having the clients connect their held away accounts. I talk to a lot of advisors who don't want to have their clients do this. It's too much of a burden. And here's the stark math. The average household here has about 6 investment accounts. If each one has 10 holdings, and you're going to have that client relationship for 10 years, and you're doing a couple semi-annual strategy meetings with your 100 clients, that's 120,000 entries. Say you take a minute to do each of them. Over the decade, over 10 years, that's 120,000 minutes. That's 2,000 hours. And when you break that into days, you're talking about over the course of a decade, spending about a year just plugging in tickers, shares, balances. And what could you do with an extra year or an extra month every year? Could you grow your services? Could you better develop and train your staff? Could you offer additional services? Or could you have better work time balance, you know, work-life balance across there? So again, as I say, time is money.
And that breakdown that you just gave us, I'm sure all of our listeners, all the advisors using the software could use more time in their day to get an additional client, to take the extra steps with maybe their top relationships or whatever. So yeah, appreciate you giving that example and just breaking down some of the numbers and just putting out there just how valuable your time is. I also like, Joe, just how you mentioned just the overall framing of what are we actually doing. I know it kind of goes back to a prior question, but that kind of hit home to me too, right? How are we even just positioning this to our client? What are we trying to accomplish in this? Like you said, yeah, I wouldn't get too excited about, okay, we're going to do that annual review and it kind of seems like a chore. But if someone says, hey, here's our upcoming year strategy meeting, like that has just a little bit more excitement to me. So maybe just how you are framing and positioning what this meeting and what you're doing is, that can be pretty impactful as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brett, that year-end or mid-year review sounds like you're warming up leftovers. It's not as exciting as when it was cooked the first time, as opposed to, hey, let's look forward to that new dish, that new strategy.
Would you say that there is maybe one area of financial planning, one topic of financial planning that should be more of a focus than any others?
You know me, I'm probably going to give you two here. So, all right. Well, we just got done doing a CE event here, and it was on Tax Alpha. So, a couple other of my teammates here, we delivered a Tax Alpha session here in November. And in the investment space, Alpha talks about that little bit of extra return that an investment manager can offer through prowess in picking investments or timing the markets and things. And when it comes to Tax Alpha, it's how can we add additional performance, additional investment returns by really looking at tax saving strategies. And it's things like Roth conversions, or should I do a traditional 401k or a Roth 401k? And what about using those 529 plans for college funding? How much will that save me? Or what about using an HSA for my retirement healthcare expenses? What about some smart giving strategies to help out my local community and things, or smart investment strategies, whether that's ETFs or SMAs or direct indexing, asset location and tax loss harvesting, or how I withdraw funds there. So I think that's an area where, again, I know a lot of firms sensitive to tax advice, but most allow sort of a tax planning conversation of, hey, let's project some things here. Let's see the impact to your plan with implementing some of the, if you were to choose to implement some of these strategies. Secondly, I am a huge believer in protecting the plan. I know a lot of advisors out there do a great job with that, some not as much. I will say, as a planner, we typically are building the perfect plan. Everybody lives a good long time. Nobody checks out early, gets sick, gets hurt, gets laid off. It's kind of like building a castle. You build the castle. It's got strong walls. It's got turrets. It's got the castle keep in the center. But every castle that I've seen has a moat, preferably stocked with alligators. It is the first line of defense. You build the castle and you put in the moat. And that's what protection is. That's what life insurance and disability and long-term care is, even umbrella liability. It's the moat that helps take the first wave of what's going to be assailing the castle. And here's a little bit of FinPsych side. I know a lot of advisors choose to lead with protection first. That makes very sound sense. It's a very practical idea. I will say, from a financial psychology aspect, people do not like to talk about their fears and their nightmares. They would rather want to talk about hopes and dreams. So I always encourage, meet those needs first. Meet their positive hopes and dreams for retirement, for college funding, and so on. And then put in the moat, put in the protection in place to protect the castle. And again, clients will see that, they will value it, they will see the trust you built by answering their questions and meeting them where they're at, and they're going to be more likely to take action on those items.
That's great. Really appreciate, again, a lot of the more broad industry and practice management ideas that you're sharing with everyone. So I really appreciate them again, Joe. Now let's shift gears just slightly, but now we'll have a little bit more of a focus on e-money and maybe a couple of items that our users can consider incorporating into their own ways for wrapping up 2025 and setting themselves up for a strong 2026. So I'll let you lead off first here with maybe a couple of items to accomplish any money.
If you're not a big client portal usage, I would encourage you to really go and consider that and make that a goal for the coming year. So one of the great features in there is onboarding. And we actually just recently revamped some of the onboarding in the client portal. I know we're making changes to it here, some more coming up on our product roadmap here for 2026. But a lot of the best advisors out there are sending the client through onboarding on an annual basis as part of that annual strategy meeting. Now, again, a lot of times you think of, this is just when I initially bring the client on. But a lot of the questions in the onboarding, are there new family members to account for, a new child or grandchild? Has your salary changed? Did you get a raise, maybe a promotion? Did you take a new job altogether? Have your priorities shifted? Are there new goals or expenses to account for? Are there new accounts to connect? You know, say a new 401k from that new job. You know, it used to be when you went to the doctor's office, they handed you the clipboard. You completed that before you went back into the exam room. Yes, my parents, my grandparents, they are still dead. My insurance is still the same, and so on. And you know, now even I get that electronic nudge, an email or text to check in for my upcoming visit. And I do that online. Again, you could really modernize your practice by leveraging client onboarding. Speaking of the doctor's office, there's also just a little bit of FinPsych here. You could go through all those questions in the onboarding while the client is in the office. Research has shown, though, that our clients suffer from the same white coat syndrome that we all experience in the doctor's office. Our blood pressure goes up, our anxiety goes up, our doctor's going to be probing, they're going to be asking all of these questions, and I don't know the answers to them. And my advisor is going to be asking me all these questions, and I don't know the answers to them. I know I should know the answers to them, but I don't know the answers to them. Have the client complete that onboarding in the comfort, the safety of their own home. There's also some good questions in that onboarding that are what are called visioning questions. A lot of the questions you're going to be asking clients are very closed-ended. How much do you make? What's the set, you know, what's the match? How much are you contributing to your plans? When do you want to retire? But there are some good open-ended visioning questions in there. It's where clients can focus on their ideal self, their hopes, their dreams and possibilities. They become more open to new ideas and engage more deeply in the planning. So in the onboarding, there's a question about what are your goals for retirement? Is it travel? Is it time with kids? Is it part-time work? Is it hobbies and starting a new career? Like having those open-ended questions, like what does retirement look like, are a great question to ask. Even if you ask the question in the office, I know a lot of advisors, hey, you know, Brett, when are you wanting to retire? And you may not know, but I, you know, a lot of times I would ask the question, you know, Brett, I know what you're retiring from, but tell me, what are you retiring to? How are you going to fill your days? Tell me about what's next. Tell me what a day looks like. And again, client can spin that out. You can use all of that to help create a much more personalized plan, but you can also be engaging with the client deeper there. Client vaults, also a super underutilized feature. As you're preparing for the coming year, you might want to have clients update credentials on account, maybe upload copies of statements or benefits. Rather than emailing them, drop a checklist in that shared documents folder in the vault. Client's going to get an email. It's going to have an icon. You got to take them directly to that document when they sign in. There's no more emailing back and forth. And I truly dislike, you know, if you want to take one idea into 2026, it's helping your clients get organized. You know, their finances may be chaotic with lots of different accounts spread all over. Everybody loves the idea of organized cabinets and drawers and closets in their personal life. Have your clients experience joy when they organize their financial lives in a secure platform without ads, without their data being sold, that's available anytime, anywhere, and on any device.
I'm right there with you with when you get things organized. I just know with my own home, when I have things organized and put away, I just feel better. And I think the same thing can go with our finances, knowing that they're all organized can just give a little bit more peace of mind and maybe ease some of that stress or anxiety that, you know, is very likely to be felt, during the current times. A couple other ideas for our listeners, okay, to, again, help you accomplish some of these year-end planning topics and conversations and meetings that you're having. So we opened up the interview here, Joe. You mentioned a little bit about alliance partners and maybe just the value of networking and connecting a lot of those individuals. You used an analogy that I typically use, being a quarterback. And so if you're not using alliance partners currently, we would certainly encourage you to consider using these. Again, they just allow you to grant access to a version of the client portal. Maybe you have a couple clients that you use a CPA, or the CPA is the same individual across multiple clients that you have. Well, maybe it makes sense to grant them access to those clients that want to participate, right? And, you know, help ease with sharing information, making sure everyone was working off of the same data, having more consistency in the literal information that all of the financial professionals have for their clients. So I think there's a lot of value there that could potentially open up additional opportunities for business development, because maybe that CPA or state attorney has other clients that are similar that could maybe benefit from the solutions and what you're bringing to that joint client. So alliance partners are huge. And certainly as you're doing that year-end planning, trying to collect year-end documents or just get things kind of organized, you can use that as another way to connect with those third-party professionals. A couple other ideas, and I'll just throw a couple more out here, Joe, and you can feel free to weigh in if you like, and maybe have some other ones as well. But we should have beneficiary designation review. Just keep in mind, there are several fact summary or fact detail types of reports that just look to package all these together. Maybe what you could do is drop a current beneficiary designation fact summary report into the client vault, send a message to your client, say, hey, put something into your vault, make sure everything is accurate, let me know if anything needs to be changed, et cetera, et cetera. So you can use that report and then obviously contact the client to hopefully get everything reviewed and in a good spot to start the following year. Last idea that you could potentially use, and there are probably many more, but we do have a notes section in each of the advanced facts. Now, this is not going to replace an actual CRM system that you might have, but I like it. Maybe you can document, this is when we suggested to do the Roth conversion, but for whatever reason, it wasn't agreed upon, so we didn't execute. Or maybe just little pieces of information, little insights that you need to keep. You can use the notes tab in some of those facts to, again, populate and document that information. So, Joe, I'm not sure if you maybe have any other ideas or last little tips or tricks.
Yeah, I was just going to weigh in, Brett. Great tips there. One other thought that always comes to mind, again, you know, depends on your personal preference. A lot of you may be using advanced facts, but I always would highlight to advisors, you know, hey, if you wanted to have a conversation in front of the client, maybe you're sharing a screen, doing it virtual meeting, or you got it on the big screen in the office or conference room, but using basic facts really does allow you kind of an outline. You know, let's just go through the family. Anything changed here in the family? Let's take a look at your priorities. Has anything changed here? You know, John or Jane, looking at goals, anything we need to add, anything else we need to be, any large expenses we need to be planning for, and just really using that basic facts as kind of like a workflow or template for maybe the first portion of that strategy meeting where you're just confirming if there's been any changes in the past 6 months or so. Again, just another way to leverage the platform here.
This has all been extremely enlightening, and it's making me think about a couple things. So really appreciate everything you've shared so far, Joe. And as we look to wrap up our 50th Knowledge Base podcast episode here, just wanted to see if you had any other final thoughts or calls to action that you'd like to share with the listeners.
Change is never easy for any of us, as we presented really a host of different ideas here. And I will share, I was like you. I was still in my former role. I was attending eMoney Summit 7 or 8 years ago, and there was a motivational speaker. Her name was Allison Levine, and Allison is a mountain climber. She was the leader of the first all-female ascent of Mount Everest, and she now serves as like a leadership speaker, motivational speaker, and she talked about all the planning and training that went into an expedition like that. And one of the hurdles that they faced were, as they were making the ascent, they have to cross these huge crevasses, giant cracks in the ice, you know, 40, 50 feet across, hundreds of feet deep. And here, you know, you're climbing up the mountain, you've got 60 pounds of gear on your back, you're wearing these hiking boots with steel crampons to bite into the ice, and you're literally walking across extension ladders, the same ones we use to clean out our gutters this time of year. They've tied a couple of those together, and you're walking across that to cross this huge crevasse. And all the guides are telling them, just keep moving forward. Don't look down. Focus on what's ahead. Well, you know what would happen? One of the hikers would look down, and they would freeze halfway across those ladders. And well, fear is okay. You know, in fact, it's a natural reaction. We're all in tune to it. It's a natural reaction. But complacency, doing nothing, that will kill you. Keep moving forward. Focus on what's ahead. And that's are good words to live on and to live by, you know, whether you're crossing a crevasse on your way up to the summit of Mount Everest, or you're looking to implement new practices in your business. Keep moving forward, and inertia is going to provide the rest.
Joe, I appreciate, again, not just the information, but how you've delivered it. A lot of the analogies and everything that you've given were spot on, and I know everyone's going to benefit from listening to this episode. So as we wrap up our 50th Knowledge Base podcast, Joe, again, I just want to say thank you for your time, for your insights, perspectives, and everything. It's always a pleasure to work with you. And again, just appreciate you giving us all of your time today.
All right. Back at you, Brett. It was great working with you too. Take care.
And that's another episode in the books. Again, we really appreciated having Joe join the podcast to share his thoughts. And of course, again, we're grateful for all of our listeners and hope that today's episode has stimulated your brain and hopefully inspired you to implement various year-end and maybe some ongoing client service ideas and activities into your own practice. Now, as the weather is getting colder, we here at eMoney hope everyone out there is staying warm, staying safe, and on a good path as we head into the upcoming holiday season and wrap up 2025. So, with all of that said, this is Brett Tharp signing off for now. Take care, and we'll be talking again soon.